Good evening, everyone. Welcome again to another beautiful evening in God's house and sitting around His Word. We welcome all of you once again to another episode in our Lenten series for this year. The theme focuses on the varied faces in the crowds. Tonight, our narrative takes us back to the cross with the emphasis of the face of loneliness. I also welcome those who are joining us from their homes tonight and wish you all God's richest blessings. With that, let us now begin our worship together, responding to God's presence among us and the gift of His name bestowed upon us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, Amen. We now continue with our first hymn this evening, Christ the Life of All the Living. Continue with our confession of sins this evening. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them, and I pray you of your boundless mercy. And for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of our Lord Jesus Christ, I am privileged to announce unto you the forgiveness of all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Our Passion narrative continues tonight in Matthew 27. From noon until 3 in the afternoon, darkness came over all the land. About 3 in the afternoon, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" Which means, my God, why have you forsaken me?" When some of those standing there heard this, they said, "He's calling Elijah." Immediately one of them ran and got a sponge, and he filled it with wine vinegar and put it on a staff and offered it to Jesus to drink. The rest said, "Leave him alone. Let's see if Elijah comes and saves him." And when Jesus had cried out again in a loud voice, he gave up his spirit. At that moment, the curtain of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, the rocks split, the tombs broke open, and the bodies of many holy people who had died were raised to life. They came out of the tombs after Jesus' resurrection and went into the holy city and appeared to many people. Well, good evening, everyone, once again. Tonight, the face of loneliness of our Savior on a cross. My God, why? Why me? This is the most gut-wrenching cry of loneliness in all of history. And it came from a hill called the Skull, from a tree called a cross, and from a Messiah called a Savior. "My God, oh my God," he screamed, "why did you abandon me?" Never have words carried so much hurt. Never has one ever been so lonely. Such pitiful words coming from the Savior's mouth. Usually in history, when the Lord spoke, people sensed the power of his voice and the thunder of his commands. We recall that voice, a creation song, sang into soundless eternity. And when he ordained the waves to splash, they roared. And when he declared the stars be flung, they flew. And when he proclaimed that life be alive, it all began. And the moment he whispered breath into the clay caked Adam, motion began. That's the voice we love to hear. The voice that inflamed a bush at Mount Sinai and split the sea of the Exodus and sent fire from heaven. But this time, his voice is different. Why? A question of concern, of abandonment, of suffering, borne by the most evil. Why? Why abandon the King of Kings, the one who is the beginning and the end of all things, the one whom John called the Lamb of God? One can still hear John in the Jordan and see him lift his eyes and see him smile and point at him and yell loud enough for all to hear throughout the canyons of Galilee, "Behold, the Lamb of God." And then he continues, "Who takes away the sin of the world." You see, it was not just sending sin away. It was not just banishing it from extinction. It wasn't just command the evil to come out and be gone. But instead, he must touch it. He must engage it. He must consume it. The very evil that touched us. And as we got to know and smell the stench of all that it is and does, for sin by its cursed nature leaves one abandoned by God. So now the sin bearer must be abandoned and must be condemned. So now on Skull Hill, the sin bearer hangs alone. Of every lie ever told, of every object ever coveted, of every promise ever broken among men, is on his shoulders. He is sin. The Father turns away. The despair is darker than the sky. The two who had been one is shredded. Jesus, who had been with God for all eternity, is now all alone. The Christ, who was the expression of God, is now abandoned. The Trinity now becomes dismantled. The Godhead now becomes disjointed. And the unity now becomes dissolved. It is more than Jesus can take. He withstood the beatings. He remained strong at the mock trials. He watched in silence as those who loved him ran away. He did not retaliate when insults were hurled at him. He did not scream when the nails pierced his wrists. But when God his Father turned his head in disgust at what he saw his Son become, that was more than Jesus could handle. My God! His cry rises from parched lips. His heart is broken. The sin bearer screams out. Facing the silent sky came the words, "Why? Why have you abandoned me? Behold the innocent one, casting his despairing eyes towards the dark heavens, and cries out, "Why?" Who could ever imagine a day would come when the Creator of the universe was being executed? His cheeks are caked with spit and blood. His lips are cracked and swollen. His scalp is ripped by thorns. His lungs scream with pain. His legs knot with cramps. Yet death is not ready for him. There is no one to save him, for he is sacrificing himself. Far worse than the breaking of his body was the shredding of his heart. His own countrymen clamored for his death. His own disciple planted a kiss upon his face in betrayal. His own friends ran for cover. And now his own Father would turn his back on him, leaving him all alone. Onlookers could not help but ask, "Jesus, do you give no thought of saving yourself? What keeps you there? What holds you to the cross? Nails don't hold gods to trees. What makes you stay there? Is it the gospel message of how our God felt about us? If so, it explains so much. It explains the proclamation of the angels to the shepherds outside of Bethlehem. It explains the voice at Jesus' baptism which said, "This is my beloved Son." It explains the mysterious appearance of Moses and Elijah at his side in the Transfiguration to offer him one last word of encouragement. It explains how the Father's heart must have ached as he heard the cracking voice of his Son saying, "Father, take the cup away from me." It explains the way the Father said goodbye to his Son, fully aware that was when his Son would need him the most. When the Savior's cry of despair would roar through the heavens, the Father would sit in silence. With angels at his side, they heard no command from him to rescue his Son. Your precious and only Son, though in anguish, he would feel no comfort from his Father's hands. Some have dared to question, does God really care about us? Does God really want us in heaven? Is God really willing to forgive us again and again and again? And then we pause to think of Abraham, who was asked to believe in God's miraculous promises, and though many of his descendants would often forget their God, God would never forget them. He kept his word, and he was loyal to his promises. God has never given up on his mission to reconcile the world back to himself. When Joseph was dropped into a pit by his own brothers, God did not give up. When Moses said, "Here I am, send Aaron instead," God did not give up. When Israel was delivered in the Exodus and soon desired to return to Egypt's slavery, then to trudge to the land of milk and honey, God did not give up. When Aaron was making an idol, at the very time that Moses was in the presence of the living God, God did not give up. When only two of the 10 spies seeking out the new land of this nation, who thought that the Creator was powerful enough to deliver the promised land, and yet the majority declined to enter, God still did not give up. When Samson whispered to Delilah, when Saul rallied against David, when David schemed against Uriah, God did not give up. When God's word lay forgotten and man's idol stood glistening, God did not give up. When Israel was defeated and taken into captivity, God did not give up. When Jesus was an infant, he became a victim of an assassination attempt before he was even 2 years old. And God did not give up. When Jesus was accused of blaspheming God by a people who did not fear God, and when Peter praised him at the supper and cursed him at the fire, God did not give up. The death of the Son of God was anything but an unexpected peril of disaster. It was the plan to crush the Savior. The cross was drawn into the original blueprint the moment the forbidden fruit touched the lips of Eve. And between that moment that man placed the spike against the wrist of God, the master plan would be fulfilled. It means Jesus planned his own sacrifice. It means Jesus intentionally planted the tree from which his cross would be carved. This explains why he told the Pharisees that the goal of his life would be accomplished on the third day after his death. And why in the garden, while tearing out the grass by its roots, he knew the hell he would endure by saying, "Thy will be done." And when human hands fastened his godly hands to a cross with spikes, it was not the soldiers who held the body of Jesus steady. It was his Father who held him to the end. For you see, God would not give up his only Son, or God would give up his only Son before he would ever give up on us. To God be all the glory, now and forever. Amen. And now may the grace of God that surpasses all human understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen. We now continue with the confession of our Christian faith and the words of the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We'll now continue by singing our hymn, In the Cross of Christ I Glory. Dear Heavenly Father, since in infinite love for mankind, you have sent your Son to redeem us from all evil, that we can be free from the evil of loneliness, inasmuch as Jesus suffered loneliness upon the cross. Yet many of your children in the world today are still lonely, and we pray you to be with them all. Fill their hearts with a sense of your divine presence, that they will realize there is no room for loneliness when your presence fills them. If they are separated from family and friends, may they remember that you, as their heavenly Father, hold them together in your loving care. Assure them that since they are members of the body of your Son, their prayers unite at your throne with the prayers of their beloved, even though they and their family may be miles apart. In selfishness contributes to loneliness of your children. Help them to forget themselves in the service of others and thus find purpose and fulfillment in their lives. As they rededicate themselves to you, grant that they may never feel alone again. In the name of Jesus, our friend, our brother, our companion, and our Lord and Savior. Amen. These prayers and others we now bring before you, Heavenly Father, in the words your Son taught us all to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. Amen. We now conclude our service this evening by singing our closing hymn, Go, My Children, with My Blessing. Amen. Well, I thank you all for worshiping with us this evening. Be safe and during these difficult times, and also be safe going home this evening. Go now in peace and serve the Lord with joy. Amen.